The last 2 weeks we were speaking about the Lova doesn't have enough money to pay, and because of that he had some bankruptcy agreement, and we said in Halacha, the fact that he didn't pay all the debt the first time does not absolve him of his obligation to pay the rest of the debt, and he will have to pay that debt. We said if it's a corporation, there could be that the das, when you lend money to someone with limited liability, you know that their liability is limited, and that should count to make them potter from using the rest of their property. So once we did that, I thought we'd this week talk about what the halacha says when a person has a lot of balei chov, he has a lot of people he owes money to, and he doesn't have enough money to pay them all. So how do you divide it up? How do you, if he has enough money for all of them, so of course he pays them all. If he doesn't have enough money for all of them, so who gets what share? What? How do you divide up the minimal money to the different balei chov? So it ends up, it's the third of the Pirush Mishnah. Mishnah in Ksuvos Daf Tani Gimel Amud Aleph. Misha Hoya Nosli Shalosh Nashim. If someone was married to three women, who made and he died, and now if he dies, he has to pay the ksuva. His yarshim have to pay the ksuva. Now, if they were all the same amount in the ksuva, so then be easy, just give them the same amount. But in this case, the ksuvas of the three women were of different amounts. Ksuvasa shalzuma. Now, one woman had a ksuva that was worth 100 zuz. The shalzuma sayim. The second woman had a ksuva worth 200 zuz. The Shalzu, Shalosh Meis, and the third one had 300 zuz. So there were different amounts of obligations here. Ve'ein sham elamana, and when the husband died, he only left $100, 100 zuz, total to give these the total debt of 600. So Cholkin v'shava, the halacha is, according to the Tanakhama, they divided equally, and each of the three get 33 and a third zuz. That's the first case. The Mishnah goes on to another case. Hayasham Masayim, if there was 200 zuz there for this total debt of 600, Shalmana Noteles Chamishim, the one with the ksuva, one mana takes 50, Shalmasayim Vishal Shalash Meyas Shloshosha Shalzov, and the 200 lady and the 300 lady each take 75 zuz, three gold dinar, which are each worth 25, so they each take 75. That's 150, and the 50 makes 200. Now, why is it like that? The truth is, it's a tricky Mishnah. This Tana really holds. Why in the first case did he hold, he divided by 33 and a third, and divided in three? Because he holds that the woman who has a ksuva of $100, 100 zuz, only has a shibud, she only has a lien on the estate worth 100 zuz. So, for that first 100, she's equal to the others, even though they have 200 and they have 300, but she has $100, 100 zuz lien. So in that, they're all equal, and you divide it up, and they get 33 and a third. If there's more money than that around, if there's $200 around, if there's 200 zuz around, so the way the Tanakhama looks at it is he says you have to split up the property into different levels. So you first take the first person, the first woman has a lien on 100 zuz, so that's all she can share in. She only could get one third of that 100. And the second and third will share the next 100. I said you're going to ask, why does the Mishnah say that she gets 50? That she should, in the second case also, she should only get 33 and a third. So the Gemara asked Akasha, the Gemara is a complicated case. It says that the second one was mochel his share to the first one, and that's why she gets 50 in that complicated case. But really, in a simple case, according to this Tana, the Tana of the Mishnah, we look at the woman like this. She has a lien on $100, so she can only share in the first $100 of the estate, and she gets 33 and a third, and the other two split the rest. In the third case, where there was $300, Hoya Shalom Shalosh Meis, if there's $300, then the Mishnah says like this, Shalomona no tell us Chamishim, the first woman takes 50, Shamasayimona, the second one takes 100, Shalosh Meos, Shishazav, and the third one takes 150, six golden coins. Now here also, even though it looks like it's being divided proportionally, it's just coincidentally, because this Tana holds once again that the first one only has a lien on the first $100, and by right she should only split, the first 100 should be split three ways, and she should only get a 33 and a third. It's just because the second one was mochel her, so she gets a full 50 over there. And there also is another one was mochel, she gets the Gemara asks why she gets a 50, and it's a whole complicated case. There's two ways of, the Gemara gives two ways of doing it, but the Ikra Hadin over there, according to the according to this Tana, is that if you have a lien, if you have a debt, you have someone, the one creditor has a shtar for $100, he only has a shibud on $100 worth of the property, and he or she can only share in that amount. Anything above that amount, she has no right to. That's what that Tana holds. The Mishnah concludes, once we figured out, and that's what I think the Mishnah was trying to do, is find a case where it will come out proportional, with this one being mochel and that one not being mochel, a whole complicated case. But here's another case where you come out proportional. If three people put money into a mutual fund, pichaso ohosiru, and it went down in value or up in value, kachim cholkin, they divided proportionally. Right, that is simple. That if I put one person put $100 in, one put $200 in, one put $300 in, and they bought something worth $600, and that $600 doubled in value, so the 100 person his share doubled. He gets $200. The $200 gets $400, and the $300 gets $600. So that's not like the first three cases. It's not like the case of Ksuva. It comes out to the same numbers at the end, but for a different reason. In the first case, once again, this time it holds that one lady number one has a lien only at $100, lady number two has a lien for the $200, and lady number three has a lien on the $300, and that's all they share in, unless they were mochel each other. So in a typical case of a normal case, if there's $300 there, and the total debt is $600, so what really, in a normal case, well, what happened would be the first $100 will be shared among all three, so they would each get 33 and a third, and the first lady with the 100 ksuba would be finished now. Now you have left the 200 lady and the 300 lady, so they go into that second 100, and in that second 100 they split it down the middle, and they each get 50 of that. So lady number two will get 83 and a third, and then the third lady will get the full last third. So she'll end up getting 183 and a third. The middle one will get 83 and a third. And the first one will get 33 and a third. Does that work out? 200. Okay. So that's the real halacha. But if it's a business, if they put their money into a business and their partner's in a business, so then it works out differently. There, the halacha is, the one, it's supposed it went down, right? They, one put 100, one put 200, one put 300. It's worth, they put a total of 600. And now the whole business became worth 300, so there they'll each get half of what they put in. The one that got 100 will get 50 cents on the dollar. The one that put 200 will get 100. The one that put 300 will get 150. That's the halacha of the Mishnah, and that's the chiddush of this Tana. That when I have a note on someone else that says he owes me $100, I only have a shibud on $100 worth of his property, and I have to share that $100 with whatever other creditors he has, whatever other Bali Chov he has, and then I'm finished. I'm now out of the picture, and they divide up to the next amount until everyone is satisfied with based on what they were owed. That's the mission. The Braitha over there says like this, Tanya. A Braitha said, Zu Mishnas Rabbi Nosson. This is what Rav Nosson held. And as our Mishnah goes like Rav Nosson, Rebbe Yomer, but Rebbe says, Ein ani roa devaro she Rebbe Nosson deilu. I disagree with Rebbe Nosson. El chokas v'shava, the halacha is they divide it all equally. First of all, just a little aside, you know, Rebbe wrote the Mishnayos, so what's the Braisa saying that this was Rebbe Nosson says Rebbe disagrees, so why did he put it into the Mishnayos? He disagrees with it, or at least, you know, sometimes he brings other shitas, but he puts his own in also. But why say just the other one and not say his halacha? It's an unusual thing. So the Doros Roshonim brings a Rai from here and other places that you see that when Rav Yehuda Nosi compiled the Mishnayos, he would take existing Mishnayos that were texts that were already memorized that were set up, and he was Masabi, he put them into Masechet Ksuvos. But he didn't necessarily go into each word of it and see, put in his opinion. This was what they were learning in Rav Nosson's yeshiva, so he put that into the Mishnayot. Later on, when it got time to be Ma'ayin in them, so then he said, you know, that one I disagree with. That's Rav Nosson's opinion, but I hold differently. So even though he wrote it, even though he was Masadir it, he compiled it, he redacted the Mishnayot, but he didn't necessarily agree with everything he put inside. And even though he disagreed, he just left the Mishnah in its place, Mishnah Lozozim Im Komo, and that's why we have this case over here where the Mishnah is Shitas Rav Nosson, and it's when we get to a Braisa, then we see a Rebbe hold. And what does Rebbe hold? Rebbe says, I disagree with Rav Nosson's opinion about how you split up in the case with the three women with three different ksuvos. What do? You divide it b'shaveh, divide it equally. Now what does it mean, divided equally? Rashi says, over here there's a shibud going on. All the husband's property is meshubud, is responsible to pay up each ksuva, even the $100 ksuva. Hilkach shalosh hamonim meshubadim lebalas mana. All $300 is what's the English word? Is meshubud is
lien.
Is obligated. Well, we need a verb. Is obligated for the to the even the one who has a $100 debt. Kisharcha Rizel, like her other friend. Ashet tiva kol ksuvasa until she receives her whole ksuva. Revichol cholkas b'shav. That's why you collect evenly. So according to Rashi, cholkas b'shav means this. Once again, in this case, one has $100, one has $200, one has $300, and there's only $300 available. So he says, what you do is you split it up three ways, and each one gets $100. And the Svara Rashi says, I mean, they say the Sma, you know, they quote the Sma saying it, but it's really Rashi. Rashi says the Svara that we have to think what's happening over here. When I lend you $100, or when you owe me $100 from a ksuva, which is the same as a loan, so I have a lien on all of your property. Every single penny of your property is meshubad, whatever word the English is meshubad to me.
Like encumbered.
Encumbered. Okay, that sounds good. Right, all the property is encumbered to my debt. It doesn't matter how much you owe me. You all, like we said in Hebrew, all of the kol nechsim are voins. The nechasim are like the security, are like the co-signers to the loan. So if you owe me $100, I have a lien over all your property. If you owe me $200, I also have a lien over all your property. If I owe you $5,000, I have a lien over your property. But we all have equal liens over the whole property. So, of course, and that's what Rashi says. It doesn't mean I could get more than I deserve. You know, if there's $600 here, so we don't say, okay, split it evenly, I should get $200. You only owe me $100. But until I get my full $100, I have an equal lien over all your property. That's what Rashi. That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara. Rebbe Shita. Now, yeah, I had the Rashi on the handout. Now, Tosas brings Ravina Chananel that disagrees with Rashi, and he says, just basically says it's not fair. The Rashi says like this: E efshar lahamid devarav bizman sheyeshalom shalosh meyos cholkas b'shav. You can't say that when the $300, it means they each get $100. Balas meya meya, the one that's owed $100 gets $100. Balas masaya meya, the one that's owed $200 gets $100. Balas sholos meya meya, the one that's owed $300 gets $100. You can't say that. The pishan midas hadin loka, but that's not fair. Elohamidenu divrei Rebbe. What's Rebbe mean when he says shomer shalchokus v'shav? When he says they divide equally, that means kol mana v'mana nardus v'shav. That means not that they each get the same amount at the end. It means when you look at the estate, each penny of that estate is divided equally. Hilkach, what's that mean? Hilkach, chulk and kol izoven hameis b'shisha chalakim, divide the estate into six shares. Shalmana notelet chelak echad, the one that's owed $100 will take 1/6 of the estate. V'shal masayim shnei chalakim, the one that's owed $200 will take 2/6, 1/3 of the estate. V'shal sholosh meis, and the one that's owed $300 will take shlosha chalakim, so will take a half of the estate. we're not dividing it lefi the shtaros, lefi the creditors, we're dividing lefi the most, we're dividing it in proportion to the amount that's owed. That's what this shita holds. That's what Rabbeinu Chanan holds. And he says that's the only way that comes out fair. He says, ki zed din tzedek. That's what he says in all his days. This is a din tzedek. It makes sense that if I'm owed less money, I receive less money if there's not enough for everyone. That's what he says. He brings a raya. He brings a raya to his halacha from this gemara I have on the handout of Abbasra, Kuf Chuf Dalet Amid Aleph. There's a similar case. Ein b'char notel pishanayim. The halacha is a b'char firstborn we know gets a double share of the estate of his father, but that's only of the property that was here. So the b'char does not take a double portion. He doesn't take anything of what increased in value after the death of the father. He just gets double of what it was at that time. The estate is frozen. He gets twice a double portion of that amount at that point. Anything that increases later is divided equally by all the brothers. He doesn't have any extra claim to that profit, that new profit. Rebbe says, Omer Ani, I say, B'char Nosal Fishanayim, I say the B'char still gets double portion, B'shvach Sheshavach Nechas Malachim Yisiyam Aviyim. He does get a double portion in what the property improved after the death of the father. Avalo B'shvach Sheshvich Yisam Malachim Yisiyam Aviyim, but if the Yisamim went and put money into it, so that he doesn't share in, because that he's like an equal with the older brothers. But things that improved just on their own, like the field just grew by itself, they didn't put any work into it. The trees blossomed and there are apples here now, so if no work was put into it, so the son, the Bukhar, the firstborn, gets two-thirds, gets a double portion of that also. Similarly, Yarshish De'achov, if they inherited a note that someone owed them money, so at that time it's something that is owed to them, Bukhar Notel Pishnaim, the firstborn gets double of that also. So Rabbeinu Chanan will ask, you see, Rebbe, this is the same Rebbe. Rebbe himself says over here that a Bukhar who gets a double portion, and let's just, for simplicity's sake, let's say there's one other brother. There's two brothers, the firstborn and the secondborn. That's all there is here. So the halacha is, you divide the property into three portions. The Bukhar gets two portions of that, and the other son, the second son, gets one-third. That's halacha of the firstborn. So they both have this field over here that they inherited. And now the field goes up in value. So what do we say? We say, well, the one who has rights to two-thirds of the field, he gets two-thirds of the profit. And the one that has rights to one-third of the field gets one-third of the profit. So Rabbeinu Chanan says the same thing Rebbe should mean over here also, where there's women with different liens on the property. One has 300, one has 200, one has 100. So they should each get the same proportional share of the property. That's Rabbeinu Chananel's raya. Tosa says, I don't like that raya. There's a big difference between the cases. Tosa says, Yesh l'chalek, v'ladami, that over there in Yesh Nochlem, Tosam lekel shum shibud. There's no shibud over there. El kol echa yesh l'chelka v'karka. There's a partnership in an existing field. The Bechar Yesh l'pishanayim, the Bechar owns two-thirds of that field. That's why he gets his share, went up in value. It's like, you can imagine, like it's almost split up. I own two-thirds of it, and he owns one-third of it, and it goes up in value, so I get two-thirds of it. But over here, mishubadim l'ksuva. Here there's a shibud. Shekol shlosha meyos mishubadim l'ksuva's balas mana. So balas mana, he says like Rashi, that it doesn't matter how much is owed to me, but all your property is encumbered to pay the debt. I have a shibud, I have a lien on all of your property, even though I only am owed $100. It's different than in the case where they were it was divided. I'm not sure why the Rabbeinu Chananel brings the raya from there, because the Mishnah itself, the end of the Mishnah said a similar halacha, that where people went into a partnership, one put $300, one put $200, one put $100, it said that they divide according to the percentage they put in. And Rashi himself, I didn't read that before, but Rashi himself says this is not like the case of three people that put money into a business together, because over there we understand they each own a specific defined share, and that part goes up in value. So I had half of this keren that we put in, I had half the principal that we put into the fund. So when the fund goes up in value, I should get half of the whatever it's worth right now. If it goes down, I should be getting half of what's left in it. But over here, where it wasn't divided yet, no one was paid yet. We just all have a lien on that person over there. So we all have a lien on that person over there. We all have a lien on all of their property. So Tosfos and Rashi say, therefore, even though I am only owed $100 and you might be owed $1 million, if there's $300 here, I get the same $100 you get, because we both have a lien on all the property. That's Tosfos' Shita. Apparently, Rabbi Nachmanov is not, he could figure out this same chiluk that we can figure out. He must hold that he must look at a shivud differently. It's interesting that he must hold that a shivud isn't. You don't look at it just like, oh, I have a blanket shivud over all your property, and you are at $1 million, have a blanket shivud over all the property. He holds that a shivud, a lien, is defined. There must be some specifics into a shivud. That if I have a lien on your property and I am owed $100, it's like I am now partners to some extent in your property. What share do I own? I own $100 share. And this other person who is owed $200 has two shares, and this person who is owed $300 has three shares. So we look at the shivud as we're partners in collecting your property. In a way, it gives me more koach. It's like making me like I already have it. And so therefore I only have 100 and he has 200, he has 300, so we share it as if it had already been divided. That must be the way Rabbi Nachmanov looks at a shivud. Rashi and Tosfos, though, are looking at it as we don't own anything now. You own your property. You just owe it to me. And since I can collect from anywhere that's available, if there'd be no one around, so there's no difference if you owe me 100 or you owe him 200 or you owe the other one 1 million, we all have the same equal shivud, and until I get paid my $100, I have equal right to collect with everyone else. So we have these three shitas. The Mishnah shita, which we certainly don't paskin like, holds that the lien is limited just to that $100. He's the worst off for this person with $100. He says, once you only have a right to $100, and that's all you share with the other people. Once you've shared the $100 with everyone else, you're out of the picture. The Tosfos holds also that to some extent you only have right to that $100, but you have equal rights with everyone else. I'm sorry, Tosfos says not like that. Tosfos says you have a shivud on everything, and therefore you're equal in power to anyone else, and until you get your $400, you have as much power as everyone else. So Rabbeinu Chananel is a little bit like, the way he understands Rebbe, it's a little bit like Rav Nosson, that your shivud is limited. The fact that you're only at $100 means that you have less of a right than the other one, except he's saying that $100 permeates the whole estate. It goes through every dollar of the estate you have that share in, whereas Rav Nosson said it's only up to that first $100 that you have the share in. He says it goes further, but you're still limited to that $100. So he says that you would be getting the proportion of whatever is left. And those are the three shitas. Now, how do we paskin? Well, we paskin like Rebbe. That's clear. But how does Rebbe hold? What's Rebbe mean? So Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rashi and Tosfos v'zot the shitas arif. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Kuftalin. Simon Kuftalin Sifyot says like this. Shtaras shezman kulam yom echad. And this we need to know, that there are times when a person has a certain note, he could have a better right to collect than the other one. If we're talking about collecting real estate, collecting karka, and there was a shtar that had a shiva, so then whoever's shtar was written first, so he has an earlier shiva, he has the first right to collect. We're talking about either shtar shezman kulam yom echad, where the shtars were all written the same day, so they all had that right of collection equally. In certain places they write the hours, so in that case the stars had to be written the same hour, so they all have equal rights time wise to this estate. They're all coming to collect together. Or another way where we can have such a case, if they're coming to collect movable objects, cash, they're trying to collect cash right now, so when they're collecting cash, then there's no one that has any right to precedence over the others, because the whole rights of precedence are only in real estate, but not in movable objects. Or it could be they're even collecting real estate, but it's something that the borrower bought after he borrowed his last money. He borrowed money from all these people and bought land, so now they all have equal rights to collect from this land. So that's, in that way, they're all equal. They all have equal rights to collect. If there would, all the money would be there, they would all have equal rights to collect. But the ain bin a chasim kadesh yigo kol echad mehem chavo. But there's not enough money in the debtor's property to pay them all. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins mechalke b'neihem. So you have to divide it among them. That's halacha. Ketzad chalke, how do you divide it? So he says, like Tosus and Rashi, im kishe yischalik hamam and hanimtal minyanim. If you divide the money based on their numbers, based on how many creditors are here, not on the amount of the debt. So if you divide it based on the number of people who are here, yagia lepacha shebehem kashir chavo, the least amount will receive the amount of his debt, or pachas, or less than that. Cholkin lefi minyan and b'shava, you just divide up the whole estate equally, and they each get a third share. Like in our case of the Mishnah, that you have one is owed 100, one's owed 200, one's owed 300. If there's $300 or less, so then you divide up the estate into three equal portions. You divide his property into three equal portions, and each one gets a solid third. But im yagil pachas shehem yoter al chavo, if by doing that, if there's more than $600 here, there is $1,200 here, and it's divided equal. Well, I'm sorry. If it's more than $300 here, right? It's more than $300, less than $600. Suppose there's $450 here. So if you divide it three ways, each one will get $150. So he's no right. He should get $150. So im yagil pachas shehem yoter al chavo, if the smallest amount of the creditor will get more than his chav. So what you do then is chalkim yikol mamav einayim kadesh yagil apachas shebehem kashir chavo. First divide the 300 up equally, so each one gets 100. V'chozen ha-nishar mi-balei chav, as v'chalkim ha-yeser b'nayim b'derech hazos. And then the others keep on dividing like this until they get their minimal, and then until each one gets what they deserve, and the one with the biggest debt will lose out. That's really what it boils down to. That's the way Shulchan Aruch paskins, like Rashi and Tosfos, not like the Rabbeinu Hananel. And it would be a simple halacha. I mean, it should really be open shut. The Sma says Lafukim Midas Rabbeinu Hananel. This halacha here is like the Rif, who goes with the Rashi and Tosfos, not like the Rabbeinu Hananel. Shekosu Vatur Bishmo, that the Torah wrote Shechol Kananim Sil Shli Shechol Elkim. They divide into six parts, and you divide it proportionally based on the amount of the loan. Kidin Bechara Pasha, just like we said, when you have a firstborn of Pasha, Beshevach Shinishvich and Nechas Machmes Havi, and this is not like the Rabbeinu Hananel. And then he says, the Rif Svar, like we said, the Rif holds that there's no comparison to the case of the Bechara, because there they actually own a certain amount. There's no Shivut on the rest. But over here, each one has a Shivut on the whole amount of the person's estate, and even though he's owed less money, we still look at it as, equal rights until he's paid off his debt. So that's really, we would say, open that case based on Shulchan Aruch, the Poskim, the Nasi Kalim, that you should divide it according to the number. Just divide how many creditors there are, divided by the estate by that amount, and until the smallest one gets his full payment, you divide it like that. When he gets the full payment, then you divide it by the next group of creditors until the second smallest gets his payment, and so on. However, the later poskim bring down a certain minig, that there was a minig to divide proportionally according to how much the debt was. Not equally among the creditors, but proportionally based on the size of the debt. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, even though Ha'ikar L'dinu K'dei Rishonu, he says, really the Ikar Din is like the first day, like the Shulchan Aruch, like most of Rishonim. But we see cases every day. When Balei Chov divide up, they go based on a proportional what the debt was worth. Like the Rabbeinu Chananel's pshat. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, look, that's the minig, but at least try to get them to compromise. They shouldn't get the full proportion, give a little bit more to the lower one, because the main halacha is like we said, that you just divide by the creditors, you don't divide by the proportion. Because I have a bigger debt doesn't give me the right to get more money than the one with the smaller one. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. The Marshan, though, says, he brings some tshuva, Shem Aryeh, he says the same Aryeh heed the haminik b'chol bezin b'zman hazel l'chavz l'fi moman. At the time, whoever the same Aryeh was, but at his time he said the minig was every bezin divided proportionally based on the amount of the debt, like they do in secular law where you give 30 cents on the dollar, 70 cents on the dollar. That's the way the minig became, and the Pitzchi Choshen concludes, so there is such a minhag medina here that which is okar the halacha. The Shulchan Aruch passing clearly that you don't give 30 cents on the dollar, you pay based on how many creditors there are. But the minhag became, I mean, that's because Chachoshen testifies, the minhag now is that people get collected by the proportional to what they are owed.
I mean,
the Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
Well, because they're saying that, like Rashi said, that my lien is on your total property. And this person has also a lien on the total property. So why, where do you see any more that this person who has $1 million lien is better than my lien? Unless you say the lumdus is that when you look at a lien, we become somehow partners in that lien, like the Rabbeinu Chananel is looking at it. But that's the chiddush to say that. The pashas is, if I have a lien on your property, if there's no one else here, and you have $1 million estate, and you owe me $100, I have a right to collect from any $100. You can give me cash, but I have a lien on all of your property at the time of the loan.
But the person who is owed $100 doesn't have more of a right than the person who owes $900,000. So why should he be paid first?
They're being paid the same amount. They're paying equally. All three are getting the same $100 in the beginning. He's not getting before the others. It's just he's owed less money, so he'll go home happier first. But his rights to collection are the same as the $1 million person. There's one other issue, though, that it's an interesting, another big machlokas. You see that this was the halacha. They kept it based on the creditors. The three creditors divided in three. Now, what happens, though, if one of the creditors has two shtaros?
No.
Right? What happens if, let's talk about the same case. There's three creditors, one is owed 100, one is owed 200, and one is owed 300, but the $300 creditor has $300 shtaros on this
January, February, and March.
February, March, same date. And he has three shtaros. Now, how do you look at that? Assuming we pass like the Shulchan Aruch. Assuming we pass like the Shulchan Aruch, that you just divide by the creditors, divide by three, and you're finished. How about over here? So the Bach says, it's early tshuva, the Bach says, it's pashid that you go by the creditors. You can't say, well, I have three shtaros. I mean, what right do I have more than you? The lien is on, I have a lien over all your property, and he has a lien over all your property. The fact that I have more shtaros shouldn't make a difference. The Tzemach Tzedek disagrees, though. He says, if you look at the Lashon Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch keeps on talking about shtaros, shizman kulam yom echad. It all depends on the shtaros. And if you have more than one shtar, so it's like you have two rights of collection now. What's the svara? He says the svara is, because otherwise, why did he write different shtaros? Even if it'd be the same day, why did they write it? It must be because he wanted to give him that extra koach that he should have the right to collect. It's interesting, they bring a right from the Shach based on a Gemara, the interesting right they both talk about. The Gemara at the end of Baba Basra says, if I have a shtar that says that Levi owes Reuven owes Shimon $100, you're not allowed to split it into two $50 shtars for certain reasons. The Gemara has a shiloh. Can you? Can't you? So they ask, why doesn't the Gemara say simply? You can't do it because if there's someone here who has who's owed another $100, and you write two shtaros, he's going to have be able to collect 2/3, and the other one's going to be able to collect 1/3. They want to bring a raya. You see from there that it doesn't make a difference. You go by the creditors. That's what the Bach wants to make a raya. It's a no, the Gemara could be talking where you write in the shtar a protection that you should know. I'm splitting into two, but he should only have the right as one. So it's a big machlokas. Nesivus says it depends if it was one loan or if it's two separate loans. Just another interesting way of looking at this halacha here. I have a lien on your property when I lent you the first $100. What happens when I lend you that second $100? Right, so do we say, well, now I have a second lien, or look, a lien's a lien. It's a shivud. You're my guarantor. The property's my guarantor. So I can say, look, it's guaranteeing the first loan. And now this guarantor decided to guarantee the second loan. Now I can hear very well that it should be, each one should have its own write up collection. Or do we say, you just look at the person in general, he owes me $300. If so, what? It was three different loans, three different times, it doesn't make a difference. So how do we paskin? It would seem that, the Shlus Yaakov brings the Machlokas Bach and Senaserek. He says, I think he makes this diag about that it's Masha Kol Shtaros. Depends on the shtaros, and he's machmiya like the tzemach tzedek. The shach is clearly mashma like the tzemach tzedek, and Erech Shai brings from the Imrei Eish Ahachra. He says, in this case, let's say this case that he says a different case, but we'll say it's our case. Just keep the same numbers, keep the numbers the same. If you have three creditors, one is owed 100, one is owed 200, and one is owed 300. And the one with the 300 had $300 shtaros, and the one with 200 had $200 shtaros. So what do you do in such a case? So the Erech Shai, based on the Imrei Eish, he says, it's a svek svek over here. He says, for sure the halacha will be that the 300 that you divide proportionally, 50 cents on the dollar. Why? Because he says, first of all, it could be, we have a machlokis between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rabbeinu Hananel. Okay, so we go with Shulchan Aruch, but there is a Chita of the Rabbeinu Chananu who says that whenever you have such a situation where it's 100, 200, and 300, you have, it's a Midas Din Loka, it's a Din Tzedek, to say that the person who is owed more money should receive more money at the end, like a Bechor and the Pashat. That's what he holds, Rabbeinu Chananu holds. We hold like the Shulchan Aruch, but we say our authority, the minig is to go like the Rabbeinu Chananu. So that's certainly one reason to say that the $300 person should get $150, the $100 person should get $50, and the $200 should get $100. Maybe should get 50 cents on the dollar. But over here he says, even if you hold like the Shulchan Aruch, and which according to that, you just divide equally among the creditors, but there's the Tzemach Tzerech Shita, which the Shulz and the Yaakov and the Shach agree with, that if I have three shtaros, I count as three creditors. So, even if you want to hold like the Shulchan Aruch, there's another suffix to say, well, I have three shtaros, and the $200 person has two shtaros, and the 100 has one shtaros. How many shtaros are there altogether? There's six shtaros altogether, and I have three of them, so I have a right to collect half the property. You have two of them, you get a third of the property, and you have one, you have 1/6, and we all get the proportion in the property, 50 cents on the dollar, 60 cents on the dollar, whatever there is. So Rav Shai says, in that case, it's cautious that there's a specs faker. That first of all, maybe we paskin, we should go with the Rabbeinu Chananel, which is, seems to be the minig, that you always divide proportionally. And even if you want to go with the Shulchan Aruch, over here there's another reason to go proportionally, because there are different shtaros. So he says, in this case, the halach will be clearly that you would divide it proportionally, according to the amount of the debt. Haresh is lashon Haresh. Kan shnei tzedodim lahagvus levalchov shnei shtaros pishnayim. There's two reasons to give the person with two shtaros double the amount. Dilma kaim alak rabbeinu chananu. First of all, maybe we hold like rabbeinu chananu. Being kim shalom kirif. And even if you want to say we should go with the shulchan aruch and the rif, dilma gam lidi day chokam lepi shtaros. Maybe according to him, you divide based on the shtaros here, since each one had multiple shtaros, so that's the way he comes out. So the ma'isa is, if someone doesn't have enough money to pay all the debts, we have the Shulchan Aruch Shita, that you just divide by the creditors. The minhag seems to be to pay on the dollar, percent on the dollar, but if the different stories, we have this machlok, so we should remember, like we said in the past weeks, that doesn't mean that the story is over here. The Baal Chov, the Lova, still owes his creditors the rest of the money. He just, this is his money he had right now. We did a Sidur. We got him 30 days worth of clothing, 30 days worth of food, 12 months worth of clothing, and this is the money he has left. So we divide up proportionally, which however we learned tonight to do it, but he still owes the rest of the money. And even, we said, even if they sign, even if there was some agreement that, and without any kinyan, that they are accepting this as a payment in full, they have to make a kinyan to accept such a thing. And until they make a kinyan, they have the right to collect the rest of the money later.